Hebrews chapter 12. The title is God Disciplines His Sons. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons.
Amen. You may be seated. Thanks, Ed. Thanks, Ed. For a few moments before we share communion together, did you ever try walking in a straight line while looking to the side or backwards, like, did you ever try that? I know it's stupid, but worse yet, did you ever try driving a car straight by looking like this? You'll turn just where your head's going. You will turn off the road. You will crash. That's true for hunters, sailors, if they miss the mark or where they're headed. You know, you can be hiking in the woods or hunting, and you could end up getting lost and, you know, go in circles. Now, in high school, I ran cross country. Do you have any runners here? Okay. I ran cross country in high school, and I was pretty good. Coach didn't like it when I quit. I got a job my senior year, and money was more important because I was dating, seeing Connie, and that was more important than cross country. Well, I ran cross country, and high school, I think it was 3 miles, right? Something like that, you know. And usually there was a course set out for you, and you had to stay on the course. And the way you stay on the course is you fix your eyes on a reference point, the goal out there. I remember I was part of a big invitational, and living 20 miles from Pittsburgh, PA, I was involved in the invitational to run in Pittsburgh in Shenley Park. Had a cross-country track there for Central Catholic High School. And that was the craziest place. We ran in his park. There was a little stream we had to cross. And we had to jump over some downed trees. It's a high school thing. But as long as you kept your eye on the goal and where you were headed, there was not going to be any real problem. The race of life. Our eyes must be fixed on the right objective and the right goal, the race of life. And whether you realize it or not, you are in a race of life. Where is your fixed compass reference point? Are you running to that mark out there, or are you looking here? And you're going to go wherever your eyes are looking. You're going to go off course and you're going to crash. It's very interesting language that we find here in Hebrews 12, verse 1. We could spend a lot of time just on this one verse, but we won't do that. And listen to the writer, verse 1. Let us run the race marked out for us. I love that phrase. Run the race marked out for us. God has a course marked out for you. You may have never thought of that. Little Annabeth, God has a course marked out for her. Now we pray that she'll stay on that. The only way she's going to stay on it is she fixes her eyes on Jesus. Because the moment, we'll talk about that in a moment. The minute you take your eyes off Jesus, there's going to be a problem and you're going to crash. But this first part of that verse is let us run. Let us run. you have to run. Now, running cross country in high school, I had to run. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to get on the bus and we're going to go in and we're going to race this other cross country team and just sit on the bus. And you had to get out on the course and you had to run. And sad to say that some of you, and I hope this is not true, you just may be too lazy to run. You want somebody to run it for you. You want somebody to come along in a little car or a little motorcycle or a little whatever and hop on and go wherever they go. And your life's still going to crash. So we have to run, and there is what is so awesome. It's so comforting. To me, it is so powerful that there's a course set out for me. I remember in 1968, I became a believer. Connie and I were still in the Navy in Pensacola, Florida. And we were attending a prayer group, a small Bible study group, and there was a prophetic word came from my life by a person that did not know me, really didn't know me. And I have it written down. Somebody ended up writing it down, and I have it in my office. And it involved me, a brand new Christian, and now I'm going to head off to college and seminary and graduate school, et cetera, et cetera. And the prophetic word to me was that the race course is already marked out for me. Yeah. Amen. So God, in 1968, God knew I would be in New Jersey and what's gone on all in between. So I encourage you that God has a course already marked out for your life. If you will run, you have to run, and you have to fix your eyes on the right objective. If you turn left or right or look back or get on somebody else's race course, you will crash. And that's probably one of the saddest things in my 45 years of being a pastor is to see professing Christians crash. So let's take a few moments to look at these verses, because the writer of Hebrews, which I think may be Apollos, some people think it's Paul, gives us some reasons for fixing our eyes on Jesus. And what does that really mean? Nice phrase, right? Sunday morning sermon, keep your eyes on Jesus. Get a nice Christian calendar and put it on there. Oh, keep your eyes on Jesus. And you, what? What in the world does that mean? So we need to see what the writer here is really talking about. My purpose is to motivate us to make Jesus our fixed reference point, our fixed life compass reference point. That never is going to change. Okay? So let's look at these words that the writer has given us. Reasons for fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus Christ is the author and perfecter of our faith. Verse 2. What this verse is doing is that it establishes the total structural foundation and framework for our life and for our Christian life. It's establishing the whole foundation and the superstructure, if you please, the infrastructure of our life. What that does is that it takes us to the very core of what we believe and how we live, what we believe. See, if I were to sit down with each one of you individually and I would ask you what you believe, what is it about your life? What's the core values that govern you, that control you, that direct you? What is central and supreme? That involves your worldview. That involves your philosophy of life. And certainly, eventually, it involves your ethics and your morals and the choices and all your relationships. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. See, if we want to run the race of life that God has marked out for us, Jesus must be the author and perfecter of our personal faith. Not only for church and heaven, but for the whole infrastructure of how we live and how we view life. All of our purpose and all of our meaning and meaning and why we exist. Jesus, the author of everything about who we are individually and personally. And again, to me, that is mind-boggling. And it is so awesome that Jesus knows me. I mean, let that grab you. Let that grab you by the head. Let it grab you by the throat. Let it grab you by the heart. Let it grab you by your soul. Jesus knows you. He cares about you. He has a race course of life marked out for you. If you will run the race with Him and keeping your eyes on Him and let everything about your life be filtered through Him. Your worldview, your philosophy of life, your ethics, your morals, your choices, what you do with your money and your time and your talents and your treasures, everything filtered through Him. Praise God for that day my mother dedicated me in that little Alliance church in McDonald, Pennsylvania. And yes, I ran. I got off the course. I ran from God. And if you've seen my little testimony that I put up in track form, running on empty, man, I was running on empty because I was running away from God. And my life was crashing. But God's grace and God's mercy, and here I am. Here I am. Author means that Jesus is the foundation of our faith. But faith there is more than just, I want to get to heaven. It's faith in how I live and view life. Everything about my life. Perfecter means that Jesus is the finisher or the maker of our faith. He is the passion for how we live. And see, God, through Jesus Christ, has a purpose for your life. He has a purpose for your life. And you may not fully see that. You may be wrestling with job and dating if you're a young person, or who are you going to marry, and what about my career, and all those kind of things that go with life. But God has a purpose for your life. Jesus wants you to fix your eyes on Him, be that fixed reference point, and let nothing sway you from His purpose for your life. Let everything be filtered through Jesus Christ. We can't allow anything to become the author and perfecter of our faith. Nothing. Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus. He will not fail us. I'm telling you, He will not fail us. And if you take your eyes, your fixed reference point in life, eyes here is just where you're headed. If you take your eyes off of Him, you will get sidetracked and you will probably crash. Is Jesus Christ central and supreme in your life? Is He the passion of your life? There's another reason. There's only two I'm only going to share this morning from this passage of why we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Jesus Christ will enable you from growing weary and losing heart. Man, let's be honest. For most people, if not all people, life is tough. Life is tough. That involves trials, tribulations, persecutions. Man, I can't imagine living as a Christian in North Korea today. It involves sickness. It involves injustice. It involves evil. It involves people that don't like us. They will ridicule us. They will spit on us. They will hurt us. Life can be tough. In verse 3 of Hebrews 12 becomes an awesome connection to where we fix our eyes. And look at the language here. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Did you ever want to give up? Did you ever want to just quit? Did you ever want to just throw the towel in on life? Say, that's it. I'm done. I've had it. I'm out of here. I'm checking out. We live in a time and an age right now where we have an epidemic of suicides. Certainly among veterans, we hear about that. But among young people, can't deal with life. Life can be tough. But there is a direct connection, both doctrinally and experientially, between a healthy, vibrant Christian life and where we are fixing our eyes on who or what. Of course, the answer, Jesus Christ. The very fixed reference point of everything about our life is fixed on Him. No matter what you take me through, Jesus, life can be tough. There's hardship. And that's the language here. And the writer uses Jesus as the example. Look what Jesus went through. We just sang this perfect song this morning, The Power of the Cross. You cannot take the cross away and still have Christianity. You cannot take away Jesus and his death and his shed blood and the suffering and all that and have Christianity. The minute you take that out of there, you take the cross away and it's not Christianity anymore. And so here's the writer saying, look what Jesus endured. Look what Jesus went through. Keep your eyes on him. Fixed reference point, everything in life filtered through him and what he endured so that you won't give up. There is no need to give up. And then, of course, a whole other sermon and a great study, the rest of that passage about that God loves us and he will discipline us. Now, Annabeth is going to be the perfect child, right? They hope so, but I know that's not true. She will need to be disciplined. And as I've mentioned from time to time, it is just terrible as a grandfather and as a great-grandfather to see my grandkids and great-grandkids disciplined in front of me, you know. But Annabeth will need to be disciplined. Why? Because Mark and Jennifer love her. So God disciplines us, not because he's just nasty, but he allows hardship and he allows trials and he allows difficulties. He knows what we can deal with because he loves us. It's all part of the track, the course that is marked out for us. Amen. I look back over my growing up years. My mother became a Christian when I was about 8. She dedicated us, but I grew up in a home of an alcoholic gambler. Father, it was bad. But I stand in front of you now and say, thank you, Jesus. Because man, did God know that somewhere in my life I would attract alcoholics and substance abusers. God knew that. The course marked out is amazing when we stay on course with Jesus. But there will be hardship. There will be trials. There will be difficulties. But we fix reference point on him, because the minute we take our eyes off of him, we're going to crash. Jesus will enable you and keep you from growing weary and giving up. Are you growing weary? Are you losing heart in your Christian life? Don't blame God. Don't blame other people. Don't become that victim. Pity party, poor me. Look what they did to me. I don't deserve this. I'm entitled to better. Don't slip there. But do examine your spiritual eyes. Is Jesus your life compass, fixed reference point? Even when the hardship comes, begin to view life through him. Summary, two reasons I've shared this morning for fixing our eyes on Jesus Christ. He is the author and perfecter of our faith, and he will keep us from growing weary and losing heart in the face of a life that's filled with hardships and hurt and all kind of stuff. God's purpose is always for our good. On who or what are your eyes fixed in life? If you've never taken that step to say, Jesus, I want it to be you, take that step. May not fully understand it, may not fully grasp it, but I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit will teach you and he'll do a mighty work in your life. Maybe you've given your life to Jesus Christ. Maybe you was a young kid in vacation Bible school or Sunday school or in your room with your mom and dad or somewhere, and you just kind of got off track. I mean, Jesus is always waiting there. He's always waiting. Turn to him. Fix your life on him. Get back on track. Get back on that course that he has for you, no matter how ugly and how difficult things come into your life. I encourage you to do that. Let's take a moment to pray. We're going to have communion together. Let's talk to God. Father, You know what's going through our minds this very second. You know what we're thinking. If there's someone that wants to give up, Lord, touch them. If there's someone ready to throw in the towel and quit, I pray that you would throw them that lifeline of hope through Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you. You have blessed us. Visit us now, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We're going to share communion together. For those of you that might be visiting, you're welcome to join with us. You do not have to be a member of our church, Edinburgh Road Chapel. You do not have to be a member of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. You do need to be a member of the family of God. And it comes by faith and trust in Jesus as your Savior and Lord. The men will distribute the cup and the broken bread. Kids, children are welcome to partake as long as parents, we've instructed them that these elements represent the shed blood and broken body of Jesus. We do not believe it's blood. We do not believe it's flesh. We believe it's symbolic of who Jesus is. We need to make sure that there is no unconfessed sin in our lives. We need to keep short accounts with God. And that can happen that fast, just right where you sit, Jesus. If you've wronged somebody, go to them, make it right. I'm going to ask our guys if they would come. Broken bread. Jesus took it, broke it, said this is his body that was broken for us. We eat this simple little piece of matzo cracker because Jesus is our hope. He's our life. He is the bread of life. Without him, there is no hope. The men are going to distribute to you in a moment. I encourage you to hold your portion. When everybody has received, then we will eat together. David, would you give thanks for the broken bread?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for all you've blessed us with. Lord, as you said, do this in remembrance of me, Father. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for giving your son Jesus for us.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Father, we pray.
Amen. 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 During this kind of quiet moment when communion elements are being passed out, you're welcome to share, answer to prayer. Maybe God has healed you, touched you in some special way. Just keep it short and brief, you know, no sermons. If you want to sit quietly, that's okay. You want to just read scripture, that's between you and God. Remember, the Last Supper was a supper. And they had something good to eat, you know, not broken matzo crackers, I don't think. But till heaven, this will suffice because we do it in remembrance of Jesus, his death. But someday we're going to have a feast. We're going to have a feast. Whatever that's going to be, I don't know. You know, God's way of providing is going to be really neat. But if God has touched your life and you want to take a moment to share that, answer to prayer. Juanita.
Steady job, and God answered our prayers, and she starts tomorrow.
Great.
9-to-5 job. And also my cousin in Florida, she had a kidney infection, and the surgery went well. They removed the kidney, and she's home, and she's recovering. And thank you all for your prayers, because God is good. He answers prayers, and he hears us when we pray for each other. Thank you.
Good news. Good news. Yes, Pat?
We had in our mission conference last year, we had Joseph and Mirna from Palestine.
Yes.
And yesterday, the ladies retreat. There was another missionary there, Alicia Maroney, that she and her husband are in Palestine for CMA. And in this, I got a totally different sense of, wow, how awesome the people are and how much they love the people and how much God is moving there and working in relationships. And it was just really exciting.
Great news.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was really neat. Last year we had Myrna and Joseph. This year, the Bellonese from the Congo, we had them here years ago. So they are a great couple. Jim?
Just want to announce, with the men's group on Wednesday night, the Band of Brothers, we're going to start a new series. It's an apologetics series. It's called Tactics. It's done by a guy by the name of Greg Kuchel. He's got a radio ministry in California. It's called Stand to Reason. So it's it'll be 6 weeks. The videos are about 35 minutes, and then there's a workbook to actually do some practical work on how to defend the faith.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I'm looking forward to it. I'm usually here Wednesday from 7 o'clock till about 8:15 or so. Bring your coffee, tea. I don't recommend water. It's an inside joke. You have to know me. Lemonade's fine. Sorry, no beer, no Merlot, or no vodka. That should be a great study. 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights. I'm just standing here, you know, looking at you all. It's always an amazing experience. Someday in heaven, we're going to be in a big circle, you know. I won't stand looking at you. But I, you know, look at your faces and say, wow, God is so awesome at work in your life, your family. And I know some of you are going through difficult things. I know that. And you've been through difficult moments. But you're faithful. You're faithful. I think what Skip always say, we get lemons, we better make lemonade. Right, Skip?
Thank you, Pastor.
Men, would you come? It's neat to see father and son serving communion and the journey that they've been on together and how God has been at work in their lives. I wonder, the Jewish companies that make matzah crackers, if they realize that on that matzah cracker there are stripes, there's holes punched, you know, and it doesn't have any leaven. I know they know that, you know, no yeast. But the stripes from being baked and the holes, Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. He was pierced. By his stripes we are healed. Our hope. Let's eat. Jesus took the cup in that Last Supper, in that upper room. Most scholars believe it was the third cup of the Passover, the cup of redemption. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Christian, would you give thanks?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. You said it yourself. There is no greater love than for someone to give his life for his friends. Thank you that you shed your life for us, and therefore we are now your friends. Thank you for admitting us into the heavenly realm with you at the right hand of the Father. Thank you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, I'd like to share a really cool experience that Friday night. My mother's older sister, Barbara, Aunt Barbara, she's 86. She had five children. She's lost three of them. She lost two girls, one to drug addiction back years ago. Neither one of the girls hit 50, Barbie and Sharon. And that being very devastating to her mom, of course. And I grew up with them. They were a little older than me. And then she lost her baby, Jeffrey, about 9 months ago. And he was also a caretaker. So I went over to see her about two, three weeks ago, and she had an Eagles. She used to have an Eagles flag hanging, because she's a big Eagles fan. And so I went in, and she was just sitting there. And I said, "Aunt Barbara, how you doing?" She was really depressed. I lost my baby. So I know, Aunt Barbara. And then her son's girlfriend was taking care of her, and she got taken to the hospital and almost died. So she was sitting there pretty much alone. So I sat down with her and told her, "I said, not to your flag." She goes, "Oh, I fell down. The neighbor picked it up. The wind blew it down." So I got to thinking, okay, I stayed about 2 hours talking to her, and I got my youngest son, Joel. I said, "We're going over, for example, to give her a flag. Obviously, he's over in the Super Bowl today." So we went over, and she was there Friday night. So we had to get the ladder out. We had to fix the island. We got the flag up. And Joel, my son, brought a full Nick Foles jersey. He's a quarterback. And man, she lit up. It was awesome. It was such a cool night. It was just an awesome experience. And then, on top of it, the girlfriend's back with her now at the hospital. She goes, "Jeffrey had a collection of lighters in the back." And he on Jeff had said, "Make sure you give all my stuff away to people." So we went back. And there was a replica. He had saved lighters. There was a replica of the gun. And he shot him in the back. It was a lighter. And she gave it to him. So that was like a really awesome night.
Somebody's beating a drum. A couple ushers are going to check and see. I don't know who's in kids' church today, but...
Might want to send somebody down.
They did, yeah. They're going down. Dan's going too, Kim. They breaking balloons? I don't know. I don't know what they're doing. We'll find out in a minute. We'll get a report. Ty, thanks for sharing that about your aunt. But anybody who's going to speak about the Eagles, you're limited to 3 seconds. Just trying to inject some humor here until we find out the noise. Hey, it's communion. See, I think when Jesus had the Last Supper, it wasn't blue music. I mean, the blue lights and seance music. And I think they were having a party, but... I don't think they were talking about football, though. That's okay. It's part of life. It's part of our culture. Cindy?
I was just thinking with the dedication that I shared with the 18 at the end of this month. And it's hard to imagine, you know, coming from that point in time to now. But I just thought about, you know, those of you who are really close to me and know me know Sarah's a strong little child. And we had a class here on it years ago. We sat down and went to the class.
Right. Yeah, I think I dedicated both of them, so. Shane, Senior?
I just want to tell everybody that was just loose down in the basement. Yep.
What was it?
Balloons.
Balloons. That's what I thought. Okay, we'll have to make sure there's no more balloon popping. Pardon?
Pray for Philly.
Pray for Philly. As people in New England saying, pray for New England. God doesn't care, right? Oh, for the city of Philadelphia. The city, okay. Guys, would you come? Grape juice. Some churches use wine. The real issue is not the chemical substance there. It represents the shed blood of Jesus. The act of drinking, what we're really saying is, Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I need your shed blood to make me clean. I repent. I trust you. So drinking that is saying that we have hope. We have forgiveness. We have cleansing from our rebellion against God. Let's drink together. Thank you. The men will collect your empty cups. Stand. We'll pray. Thank you, Father, for your presence. We celebrate this communion together in anticipation of the day you return. We do this in remembrance of your death, the fact that you are coming again. Bless us as we leave here, as we breathe in your presence. Praise your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.